Welcome to the One Wyoming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Thorburn. You can follow me on X at @by_RyanThorburn. Make sure you go to the Pokes Insider page at gowyo.com to read about all of my coverage of the Pokes. I'm in studio here with Kevin McKinney, and we have a special guest today, Chris McMillan, former Poke, now current Poke. Chris, welcome back to Laramie.
Oh, thank you very much. It feels good to be back. Not something I thought would ever happen, but definitely hope that it would. So a dream come true for sure.
Great full circle moment. We had this same thing with Javon Bonight recently rejoining the football staff after a great career playing football at Wyoming. What were your emotions when Sundance Wicks called you and you were able to get this job?
I was just smiling like a kid in the candy store, you know. We had just got let go at Central Michigan 2 weeks before. It was late in the cycle, you know, so I'm pounding the phones nonstop trying to get it figured out. My wife stressing out, you know, that I'm home all day. So to get a job was huge, but to get one here was, I keep saying it felt like Christmas morning, man, just grinning ear to ear to have a chance to come back here and win a championship as a coach. Not a lot of guys get a chance to do that, and I'm excited to have that chance.
You know, Chris, you don't have gray hair. You don't look a day. Well, it was 20-some years ago when we saw each other last playing basketball. It's amazing how things go and the journey you get on.
You know what? It's the picture they put out, my gray hair is actually in there. I shaved for you guys because I didn't like the way the gray looked. People kept calling me saying I had salt and pepper hair, so I shaved. But, it's funny how fast time goes. You know, I remember my dad dropping me off in the summer of 1998, just saying, hey, man, like this experience is going to go by really, really fast. And before I could blink an eye, I was graduating from here. And then now, you know, having gotten to coaching and I came back here when I was at Idaho State, we played you guys, to now fast forward 6 years to be on staff is just, it's crazy.
Chris, you touched on it, but Central Michigan had a change with the head coach. Obviously, a new head coach is going to bring in his own guys a lot of the times. What I loved about what you did is you pretty much posted on social media, hey, I'm not ashamed. I need a job. Anyone out there looking? I'm not saying that that's what drew Sundance to you. Obviously, you have the ties here, but talk about just putting it out there and then how it came about with Sundance.
Yeah, for sure. So I just believe humble servants get blessed, right? And I think, you know, you never know where somebody is in their walk with God and you know, how they feel about those things. But I just felt like in that moment, being very vulnerable was the only thing I can do. You know, there was some fear there for sure because of how late it was in the cycle. You know, the cycle started second week of March. We got let go April 3rd. So I wanted to be in the business and I wasn't going to hold anything back. And so putting that out didn't lead to the job per se. I know a few people tagged Sundance in it. What actually led to the job was I let go of my agent and I found out Jeremy Shiat was an agent. Him and I got connected, had a phone call. He said, hey, you know, there's a spot open at Wyoming. Would you have any interest? I said, yes, I would have interest. He hung the phone up. Talked to Sundance 20 minutes later. This is all on a Monday now. This is a Monday morning. I've been out of a job for 2 weeks. He talked to Sundance. My phone goes off 20 minutes later. It's Larry Shiat. Hey, you know, Chris, we talk, you know, even though I didn't play for him, there was always that bond there. Like I think Larry's one of the most genuine people I've ever met. Him and I had a conversation. He talked to Sundance. And by Monday night, I had interviewed. And so it went really, really fast. You know, when you're interviewing for jobs, then after the initial interview, you start having all your friends and your network start to hit Sundance. So, I mean, I'm going Reggie Slater, will you hit him? Josh Davis, you know, I'm going down the list just so he understood, you know, I can try to help bring back the past, right, to him. I sent him a picture of myself in my Wyoming jersey. I said, hey, listen, I don't know who else you're hiring, but I know they can't do this. And, you know, fast forward 3 days to Thursday, I had the job. So not to get long-winded on that, but that's kind of how it went down.
That's amazing how that does go. You know, you mentioned your dad bringing you to school here. I want to hear again your recruiting process with Coach McClain and the Cowboys staff back there in 98. And it seems like you've never gotten out of cold weather since you left California, for crying out
loud. I know, it's crazy. I got to stop doing that. I did Hawaii for 4 years.
Yeah, you did Hawaii. Right?
You know, so Scott Duncan saw me on the circuit in the summer of 97. Played well and called. This is back before cell phones now. So called my house that night. I got home. They offered me a scholarship that same night. Fast forward, I had recruitment, going on obviously throughout the summer, and then, you know, coming into the fall, I had narrowed my choices down to here, Pepperdine in Washington State. Took a visit here. It was cold. I went to a rodeo. They had a rodeo inside the double A. I'm like, man, this is crazy, man. Unbelievable. There was a football game. I was freezing again. But I liked it. I had a great time. You know, Ladarian Jones was my host. Never forget it. Ugo, those guys. But I went home and was starting to kind of get ready to set up Pepperdine in Washington State. Washington State, I felt like, was trying to push me off. So for me, they were out. Pepperdine, I didn't want to be in California. So what's crazy is in September, I told my dad, I think I want to wait. And I called Wyoming and said, hey, I think I want to wait, you know, essentially, will you guys wait for me, without really knowing the business side of things. And so Larry was pretty pointed, saying, that's not how it works. You know, we want to take somebody early. I hung up, told my dad, like, I think I just want to push this thing off. Like, I really want to play in the Pac-10 at the time. And unlike now, when kids are doing this and getting bad advice from people, my dad said, absolutely not. You will go to Wyoming or Pepperdine. Wherever you want to go, pick your school, but we're not putting this off, because they all check the boxes you wanted. Opportunity to play as a freshman, good league, you know, not super, super close to home. So make a decision. And that was it. I think I've told this story before. The way I got to Wyoming, though, was when I was four, I took a picture in a cowboy suit, had a hat, the whole giddy up, standing next to a horse. I have the picture. And that picture, when my grandfather passed, was put in his casket. And so when I was going through the whole thing and what I want to do, my dad bought this picture out, and the rest, as they say, is history. Wow. It just felt right. So I became a cowboy.
Yeah, that's funny, because I grew up in Casper, and one of my dreams was to go to Pepperdine, because it's in Malibu, California.
Yeah.
Malibu and Laramie are a lot alike, though.
Very similar. They're different. So... But yeah, so that's how it happened. You know, Larry leaving wasn't ideal. This is before the whole social media thing. You know, thought about opening up the recruitment, but then Steve came and sat in my home and explained the vision. I trusted him. You know, a lot of coaches say they're going to give you the keys to the car, right? But, you know, with him, you know, he stayed true to his word, and it worked out.
It did work out. And it's interesting, because Larry Shiat obviously was recruiting you. There was no portal like there is now, or you wouldn't have been coming to Wyoming, we know.
That's correct.
But, you know, another guy he recruited that worked out pretty well, Josh Davis.
Yep.
I know that, you know, I covered a lot of that Shiat year for the Star Tribune, and he was really excited about Pasha Baines, but he was wrong about that one. It was Josh Davis who ended up being the centerpiece of that class. But what was that like coming here and playing for Steve McClain when you had planned to play for Larry Shiat?
You know what's crazy? You know, because, you know, now with information, it's at your fingertips quickly. Like, back then, you couldn't do that. And looking back on it, the way Larry actually played the game in the 50s wouldn't have been a good fit for me. Nah. You know, he would slow it down, grind you out. And for me, I don't know what I was thinking, but playing the game in the 50s was not my style of play. Steve was definitely more of my speed, you know, literally and figuratively, trying to get up and down. And I know he wanted to try to score it early and often. So loved playing for Steve, loved his energy. He was really, really good to me. We hit it off right away. And not for nothing, man, every job I've ever had in coaching is somehow tied to Wyoming or Steve McClain. So it's part of why I tell kids, wherever you go, man, be a good person, because you just never know when you got to reach back to that network to ask for help.
You know, I think about that era that you were involved with, and Wyoming through the years has had several golden eras, so to speak, in basketball. That was one of the golden eras. And Bailey and Davis and Uche and all those guys, you guys, it had to be such a pleasure to have gotten into that group with all those good players. I remember at one point the Cowboys won, 13 or 14 in a row at home?
It was wild.
It was unbelievable. I remember, Chris, the BYU game.
Mm-hmm. Down 20?
Down by 20, came back in the second half and won. Those kind of magic moments filled that building and made it as exciting as really I've ever seen it at the university.
Yeah, it was those years. What's crazy, our freshman year wasn't bad. You know, when Steve got the job, Ugo wasn't who Ugo, by the way. Ugo had averaged 2 points a game for Larry, you know, and, you know, Steve will tell the story, hey, that Lee Moon thought we were going to be a, you know, 5 or 10 win team, and that team wins 18 games, 19 games, and beats USC in the first round. So, you know, back to the magical moments, man, I think it's a testament to, yes, good players, but we had good people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if you have good people in your circle, so to speak, I think good things could happen. And I think Steve did a good job. You know, some bad apples are going to slip in from time to time, but the core nucleus of that group were all really, really good humans. And I think that had a lot to do with the success and the magic.
Chris, you're right. You won 18 games as a freshman, 19 as a sophomore. I know at some point you were injured, but then back-to-back Mountain West championships for the Cowboys.
Yep.
What is your favorite memory of all that? We were talking before. Mine is I drove up here, you know, working in Boulder and met my dad for that Utah game that clinched the championship. So I'm one of the 16,000, and there's probably 40,000 people that say they were there at this point.
Right.
But what stands out to you when you think about the glory days of that era?
So, and I can say this now because I'm older, the 21-22 season is not my favorite. But I was hurt, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, I don't have the same emotional tie to it, although I'm very happy for my brothers. You know, I played those first 5 games, and then I had to redshirt because of the ankle injury. My leg just wasn't I wasn't who I was. So, I love that one because I got to be a part of it and still practice and go to the tournament, and I got my ring. So, I know. I still say, I helped get them to an NCAA tournament berth, but my usage wasn't what it was for my junior year when we won it. Now, it was a 3-way tie, but nobody knows that.
Counts.
Yeah, it counts.
It's a championship.
It's a championship. Yeah. I have a ring for it. So that one for me means a lot.
And it was a really good league at that time. Obviously, BYU and Utah.
BYU, UNLV, Air Force, New Mexico. So I think that one's more special to me, although I really value the 21-22 years because not for nothing, man, like those teams, I was telling Sundance when you hired me, we're on a group chat. Like those guys, this is what kids don't realize. It's why the portal kind of sucks. You never, when you leave every single year, you never get that bond. You never get that brotherhood. And so for us to have that, like when it was announced that I was coming back here, my teammates were my biggest advocates. Mm-hmm. And very active on social media, how happy they were because a lot of them were around when I was trying to get in the business, you know? So now to be back here, man, them dudes have been showing me nothing but love.
That's amazing. The Cowboys were just in the new Mountain West when you were, during your time, correct?
We were the WAC the first 2 years.
And then became
The Mountain West. And maybe even only the first year, but it was Rice, SMU,
yeah,
TCU.
That was bizarre, wasn't it?
It might have been second year we went to Mount West.
Yeah.
Yeah, wild.
Had to be really strange, or maybe it wasn't. Did it really resonate with you guys that you were in a different league now?
We knew it was coming, right? So, you know, I think at the time, now with league changes and things like that, I think it resonates more because, again, fingertip information's at your fingertips. Back then, I didn't know WAC from Mountain West. I would just say, man, I'll show up at 7 o'clock and play who you tell me to play. You know. But looking back on it now, that's a really good league, the Mountain West. And the travel was a lot better, I think, too. Yeah. Having to go to Texas was just a nightmare, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Chris, I hate to bring up a sad story, but do you feel like your last year, if Marcus Bailey didn't get hurt, you guys would have been as good or even better than the NCAA tournament team the year before?
I think so, man. He was just so different. I think he was 17 a game, and he did so much for us offensively. I don't know what the number was, but I'd assume we were probably in one or two possession basketball games a lot that he makes a difference in, like he did, you know, in the 21-22 season. Still good friends with Mark. He lives up in Casper. I think if he doesn't get hurt, has a chance to really make an NBA roster or play high, high-level European ball. That was just unfortunate, you know, how that went down. And I remember it, you know, clear as day when he hurt his knee. And I remember watching his dad walk down the stands and come on the court and then carry him off. So to your question, yeah, I think we would have been as good, if not better, because we were older, right? All these teams, as you see in these NCAA tournament teams, they all want to get older and experienced. Nobody wants to recruit freshmen anymore. That team was old. I mean, you talk about Uche and Josh and Mark. I mean, that was, it was crazy.
You know, your name is dotted throughout the record book. And what did you think you were going to bring to the program? What was your game?
So where I made a mistake was, I don't know why I did this, but I was a scorer in high school. Like, that was what I did best. Like, I averaged 25 a game in high school. But for some reason, I thought, man, I got to change my jump shot going into college. And I thought that because I had a low release point. Well, as a result of that, I didn't shoot the ball really well my first two years of college. It was just kind of spotty. And then my junior year, as we kind of had some breakthrough, and like I shot at a really good clip my junior year. So I thought I was going to be a, you know, 10-point, you know, maybe 12, 13-point a game guy, one, you know, assist, defend. And I think what I grew to be ultimately was just a team leader, man, a floor general. Mm-hmm. You know, guard the other team's best perimeter player, be the vocal leader, and make sure my guys were happy. Right, like when you got Josh Davis and Ugo and Mark Bailey, why I shouldn't shoot? Like, you know, you guys should be the one shooting. You know, I'm bummed I got hurt, because if you look at my stats, had I just played and stayed healthy for 4 years, I looked at it, I would have been the only player in history with 1,000 points and 500 assists, mm-hmm. which maybe would have put me in the Hall of Fame. To do something like that. So that hurts, but. Like I said, to get a chance to come back here to rewrite history, so to speak, would be pretty cool.
Along those lines, you know, you mentioned the injury, but they also recruited a kid named Jay Strait.
Yeah.
Turned out to be a pretty good point guard as well. And
yeah.
You kind of passed the baton to him during your career.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of the portal in today's age, you know, you bring in another point guard and maybe your minutes go down. Usually that leads to a guy leaving via the portal.
Yeah.
What did you learn, though, during your injury, watching that team and coexisting with Jay Strait, that's helped you in coaching?
So the year I actually sat wasn't that bad, because I was just trying to work myself back to getting healthy. And credit to Steve, like, this is why I respect him so much. I was mad at him, but I respect him. And just so you know, I did not pass the torch willingly. I did not want to pass the torch.
No.
But when I went in and talked to Steve, Steve had called me in. I hadn't practiced with the team. I was just working myself back. But leading up to the first game, he said, listen, this team needs you. I don't care if you practice, be in a boot, but I just need you to play in games, which is why I played the first 5 games. Jason did not like that. He'll tell you he didn't like it, because here I am running down the tunnel, haven't practiced, and then now I'm in the starting lineup. So I start the first 5 games, and I'm just not me. I don't have the burst, the pop, the whatever. I remember sitting in Steve's office saying, I need a red shirt. I cannot do this. And what he told me was, I can't guarantee you your starting spot next year, like, if you do this. In my mind, though, in my ego, I thought, listen, I'm better than Jason. I'm not worried about that. You know, I'm gonna do this, right? I need to be the best version of me. What I didn't know in that moment is, no matter what I did the following year, I wasn't going to have a chance to fight for the starting spot. And so Jason and I didn't dislike each other by any means, but we weren't, like, tight. Like, Paris Corner was one of my best friends. Like, Joe Rizzo, I was tight with those guys. I'd say with Jason, it was healthy competition. I would say anger of me, because, you know, seeing somebody out there in a role you feel like you should be in and were in and did win a championship in is really, really hard, right? So watching it during the injured year was okay. Watching it when I was healthy and like I should have been out there, I would argue I wasn't the best version of me that year. And so to your question of what did I learn? I'm sympathetic and empathetic to kids that go through what I go through and like, hey man, listen, I know this is hard not getting the chance to play, but don't be an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, don't show up early, stay late, keep the grind going, because you just never know when your opportunity is going to come. And for me, I think I turned into a little bit of a turd. You know what I mean? Like, if practice was at 3, I was probably going to come in 2:59 because I was angry. I didn't know how to voice it. So I just, you know, I just acted out, so to speak. So I try to show kids now in those moments that, hey, man, I get it. You know, you don't know my story, but trust me, I get it. I try to love on them. Hey, man, come here. I love you, but you can't do this. You can't show up right a minute before. You can't leave right after. Like, keep the grind going, because you said you love it. And if you love it, now you got to embrace it through the hard times. And I didn't do that well my true senior year, when the year Billy got hurt.
You know, we talk about the NIL ad nauseum until we're tired of talking about it. But the one thing it robs you of is your teammates and the bond that you have. I'm curious, through these years, who have been closest? You mentioned Paris, but who's been closest to you in terms of staying in touch, maybe seeing each other, and doing things together?
Paris Corner. I've seen Paris a few times. Josh Davis, in terms of talking, I saw Josh earlier this summer, stayed at his house with his family. I introduced Josh to his wife. So I always joke with him. I was a good point guard on the court and off the court.
What an assist.
Well, great assist. You got beautiful kids. You're welcome, Josh. Mark Bailey, we talked. Joe Reese, Rodney House. I mean, we're all in a group chat, you know. Ugo, talked to him. Uche, often. I would say also up there, and I'm sorry, LD, but Ladarian Jones has been, when I say with me, when I wanted to get in coaching in 07, 08, he was trying to help me, and I was telling him the plan. Like, he's been one of my biggest advocates and cheerleaders. And unbelievable human.
Yeah.
And when I got this job, I mean, he was as happy as my family, because he knew back in 2009 this was always the goal. And so for him and me to see it come full circle, it's been great.
So even though you graduated in communications, you knew you were going to be a coach. That was the idea, or not?
I didn't, actually. So because of this true senior year I had, I lost my love for the game. I didn't watch basketball from 03 to 09. Didn't watch it. Couldn't watch it. And one Saturday in 2009, I was working in the fitness industry. I was working in the nightlife industry, you know, burning the candle at both ends, so to speak, having all the fun then that I didn't do in college. I just woke up like, I can't keep doing this. This is leading me nowhere. Like, I need to get back around the game. And so, you know, started making cold calls and got lucky enough to get into coaching. And that was in 2009. And here we are now.
Chris, I know it's your first week in this new position here at Wyoming, but what are your first impressions of the staff? Obviously, it's a new era, but Sundance Wicks, I think if anyone can recreate that energy in the AA and get it going again and create a new golden era in this wild new landscape, it's going to be Sundance.
Yep.
What's this first week been like in your interaction with the staff?
It's been really good, man. The first thing I noticed is how engaging everybody is. I don't think there's any ego on this staff whatsoever. There's not guys trying to get credit, or I did this, you did this. There's none of that, man. Like, everybody is active and involved and engaging and helping with recruiting. The energy is good. Sundance's aura, everything about them is fantastic. Like, I FaceTimed my daughter in the office the other day, and he hopped on and said hello to her. He doesn't know this, but when I talked to her that night, she said, "Daddy, I really love Sundance." And I just thought, man, I work for some really, really good humans, because kids have a sixth sense. Mm-hmm. Like, they can tell right away now if something's not right. And, you know, my daughter's been like, "Dad, I don't like him." Right. But with Coach Wicks, man, she said right away, "I really, really like Sundance. I'm glad you're there, Daddy," which obviously touched my heart. So it's been really, really good, you know, just being around those guys, man. And good coaches and elite humans, and I love being around good people, because I think good things happen to good people.
Tell us about those daughters. They're lovely.
Oh, I appreciate it. My daughter Zoe, 7. She's so smart and kind. it's crazy. My dad would always tell me, like, when we first had Zoe, he said, listen, like, it's different now. It's not about you. And if you have children, there's no weight like the way that your child laying on your chest, right? And my dad said, it's the purest form of love you're ever going to feel, and it's instant. And it was like that when we first had Zoe, right? And he said, now the next step is now you got to be the man to her that you're going to want her to be with one day. And it was just, that's what I've tried to do and take on, you know? And yeah. So Zoe's situation, there are times I feel bad for her because her life is not the traditional 7-year-old because of Cam, who was my second daughter, who has Down syndrome. And she's thriving and doing great, but her life is different in terms of the therapies and all the things that she has to do. So Zoe had to tag along for a lot of those appointments, mm-hmm. which is, it's not fair for Zoe, but she's such a trooper, man. And she's very protective of Cam.
Awesome.
And she takes on the big sister approach, right? Like, we'll go to an event and Cam loses her mind. And Zoe will see me losing my patience because, you know, I'm at my core, I still am who I am. And Zoe would be like, Daddy, it's okay. Wow. You know, if we have to leave. And so she's just super mature for her age. And I mean, blessed to have them both, man. Yeah. Truly.
You know, your dad was always special to you, too.
Oh,
you
were close.
Very close.
Yeah.
Talk about him a little.
Oof. Am I supposed to cry on the podcast?
I think Sundance almost did, so go ahead.
Does it all the time.
Yeah, no. Well, my mom, both my parents are very special to me. We got a great bond with my mom. You know, she was the rock of the family. But so my dad, my mom and I grew up, I was my best friend. We go do things together and, you know, shopping and silly and games and jokes. Like, that was my best friend. My dad never took that approach because he was raising me to be a man and stand on my own too, right? And he had that approach early on, and I just didn't appreciate it until I got older. So yeah. My dad and I weren't super close early on. My mom and I were thick as thieves, but my dad, right when I hit about 14, things began to shift a little bit because I understood the life lessons that he was trying to give to me and prepare me for, right? And so, you know, he had a funny way of doing it, he's my best friend, and losing him really, really, really shook me to my core. You know, that was hard for me. I'll never forget the day. I was in Idaho for the conference tournament when I was at Idaho State. And I was sitting there working on my scout, and I got an email. He was trying to get into Facebook, and he couldn't. He was trying to reset the password, but the recovery password was to my account. So I wasn't going to call him back and give it to him because I was busy working on my scout. And something just said, man, just call your dad and give him the password. So I did. Dad, what's going on, man? Try to get in. He's like, yeah, I just can't figure this technology crap out. And so I gave him the password, Rutgers 1950. I still remember it. And I said, hey, man, listen, I love you. You know, we'll talk soon. He said, I love you too, son. And hung up. And he died 24 hours later.
And that's something.
So my last words to my dad were, I love you.
Yeah.
All because of a Facebook, you know, reset, which I wasn't.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, very close with him. Miss him a lot. You know, he's with me. Every time I see a green Kia, that was his last car driving by, I always kind of wave to it because that was his last car. So.
He's happy you're here.
I think so, too.
Chris, I guess a good news is you can probably focus on getting your family here because we can't talk about the names, but it sounds like Portal Combat is over. You guys have a full roster.
Yep.
Without getting into specifics till they officially sign on the dotted line.
Yep.
What can you say about this group? And, you know, as I noted, you know, on social media, Sundance was hired May 12th last year, and you guys had this wrapped up May 7th this year. So big head start compared to what they had going on last year.
Good humans, skilled. A nice mix of experience, meaning portal guys and youth, which I think is really good, especially as we go into the new Mountain West in the next couple years. But I think they fit physically and analytically what coach wants to do. And that's the biggest thing. And I think he'd tell you last year's team, I don't think necessarily checked off all those boxes. So we're really excited, you know, and looking at it, and he's an analytics guy. So I'm not, I know how to count money and 1 + 1, and he's got these numbers up there, and I'm just like, this is mind blowing, but I get it. Right. I mean, but it looks like the Matrix to me, you know, I feel like I'm Neo in the Matrix. But I've learned so much in the short time that I've been here, and how he likes to try to construct the roster and what it means and checking off all the boxes. I've been in this 16 years now. The presentation he gives with recruits when he sits down with them is the best I've seen, and it's not even close. How he analytically breaks down every single player's DNA and talks to them about it and how he's going to use them and why his concepts work. He's an elite coach, man, elite coach. And Wyoming's in for a real treat.
You know, you and him understand what the AA is and what it means and what basketball means to Wyoming. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's part of why he was okay hiring me. You know, he could have probably hired somebody else with maybe from Wyoming, but like I told him, man, I've bled on that floor. Mm-hmm. I've sweat on that floor. You know, I've been cursed out on that floor. And I think there's something behind that. Like when I recruit kids to Wyoming, it's going to feel a little different. You know, like when I'm recruiting a kid from California, wherever it is, I mean, I've lived it. Mm-hmm. You know, like your apprehensions or concerns about the state and diversity and this, and I don't know about this. I can, without question, tell that person, hey, man, it's going to be okay.
That's huge.
Coming here is going to change your life.
Yeah.
Right? And I can show you with data and with facts that I did it. And so coming from California, by the way, which people thought I was crazy, but coming here changed my life. And I owe everything to this state and this university.
All right, Chris. Well, I don't think your first appearance on the One Wyoming podcast could have gone any better. Thanks for sharing everything about your family and your history here at the university, and look forward to doing it again.
I appreciate you guys.
Love having you back.
Man, love being back. Awesome. Go Pokes.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure you subscribe at Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.